Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. I am Robert Solomon, and we are celebrating Pixelitis Day because Jack Thompson has been officially, permanently disbarred.
You mean
the guy?
Are you talking about that idiot down in Florida who basically clogged up the courts with all those nasty video game lawsuits?
Yep. Permanently disbarred.
Permanently.
Okay. And as I said before, it couldn't have happened. As I said before, it couldn't have happened to a douchier guy.
Well, at least you won't have to deal with any more lawsuits against Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto movies!
Nice.
All I want to see is more dismemberment, more blood and guts, and maybe a little bit of, say, parental responsibility. Ooh, did I say that?
Yeah, parents need to be held accountable. But not Jack Thompson. He could burn in hell for all I care. But enough about video games. Let's introduce our panelists for tonight. We have from New York City, We have the Charlie O'Donnells. We have the Charlie O'Donnell of Wrestling Chat Radio, VRM.
Well, I'm all the way from New York City, but that's close enough. RPI Women's Hockey wins their first game. Ah!
And then we have our version of Ken Jennings, Jason Block.
Not as rich, but better looking. No, I'm just kidding. And I did my civic duty tonight by actually watching the presidential debates tonight, so.
I watched about the first hour tonight. I got a little tired, so I switched to Deal or No Deal.
There you go.
And then we have our version of the rapping dragon, Typho.
Hello, my name is Typho, and did you know this past week's Raw was the 800th episode?
Okay, you know, come on, sound at that time. That's definite, right? There you go, right.
Awesome. And
the Jets got their ass kicked, and more people still watch Monday Night Football.
And right now, our version of Tom McKee, fourth.
Well, I'm not suspending anything for now, so.
Go
ahead.
Okay. Well, it was an interesting week in the world of wrestling. So let's just hop right into it by saying that Raw was... How many episodes was the Typho?
I believe it was 800.
800 episodes.
They didn't mention it enough, so it didn't click fully, but I think it was 800.
I mean, they only, like, showed it, what, 5-10 times?
At least.
Yeah.
At least, but it only garnered 5/10 of a point more than the episode it did last, like episode number 799.
800 is killer spelled backwards.
Let's talk about some Raw from Cincinnati. Oh, by the way,
didn't you actually wanted to get something else in before we started?
Oh, yeah, I did. Before we get started on that, everybody's favorite big-nippled vampire, LAX sultry sensation, and former Elvira wannabe. Only me and Jason Block would know that one. Shelly Martinez is on eBay, thanks to Rob Van Dam.
Now, I have to get this a little advanced. When Rob told me about this, he used certain words which I'm not going to use on the air, which after I read what it was, I disagree with his terminology on it. May I use that term?
However, I should have pointed out to you that I heard this through Nikki, first of all.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I didn't know that it was for charity to begin with, so.
Yeah, okay. No, all good. He used the term poured out. Okay. Now, there have been a lot of wrestlers who have put a lot of really dumb and really sort of nasty stuff. I believe you said, Rob, that Tammy Sitch actually put her boobs on eBay.
Her breast implants, they sold for about $800, but she never collected the money.
Okay. Well, what happens is that, as you know, Rob Van Dam's wife, I don't know her name. Does anyone know Rob Van Dam's wife's name?
Sonia.
Is dealing or has dealt with a battle with colon cancer. So to raise funds, I believe, for the center that she stayed in, I'm not exactly 100% sure on this.
The City of Hope Cancer Center. I have the eBay thing right in front of me right now.
You put that in the show notes if you can, because what Salinas is doing is actually, I think, a very, very cool idea. She's auctioning her time for a lunch and an autograph session, I believe.
Yep.
And, you know.
Actually, here's the full thing.
Go ahead.
As the winning bidder will be contacted via email to set up the date, place, and time that works best for both parties. As the winning bidder, you are required to provide your own form of transportation. Any airfare or any type of traveling required to be set at the selected date, time, and location is completely up to the winning bidder. No form of transportation will be provided. This offer cannot be transferred into any offer. If date and time has been scheduled, a winning bidder does not arrive or cannot make it for any reason, you cannot receive any type of refund. The winning bidder must be over the age of 21, yada, yada. The winning bidder will get the following. Lunch with Shelly Martinez. Your photo with Shelly, which she'll provide for you, which she will autograph for you. And percentage of the proceeds will go to City of Hope Cancer Center. And just take a guess how much the current bid is right now.
Now, I saw this, so I can't say. So I already saw it.
And I was just looking at it.
And that's pretty cool.
$5,100.
Wow. Was it anybody named Dave Batista, Pit of Danger Man?
Oh. Yeah, okay. That's, yeah. Ow. Now, true story, though. I was involved almost. Mick Foley put up a lunch. There's a charity in New York that I don't know if you've heard of it, called Blythedale Children's Hospital. Mick Foley, when he was hot, was doing a luncheon that me and a bunch of friends tried to get into, but unfortunately we didn't win it through WPLJ-FM here in New York. So a lot of wrestlers put up their time, and I think that's a very, very, very nice thing. And if they raise a bunch of money for cancer research, then more power to her.
Exactly, and also WrestleCraft, a little plug for WrestleCraft.com, a site that I frequent quite often, and everybody should. Some of the best friends of WrestleCraft fell victim to cancer. I wasn't going to say this, but Blade's mom was a cancer victim. Blade Braxton's mom, a good friend of mine and co-host of WrestleCraft Radio.
Right.
Actually, a big name that, or kind of a big name that was frequenting WrestleCraft, John Tenta, a.k.a. Earthquake, a.k.a. Shark, or Golga, was a frequent visitor of WrestleCrap and even liked it and recommended it to a lot of people, a lot of wrestlers, like Mike Awesome.
I think everybody has been touched by cancer.
Yeah.
At one point in their lives.
Most notably my brother's dad died recently of cancer. I think it was it's either skin or bladder cancer, one of those two.
It is an evil, 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 nasty disease. And just
yeah.
to end this, good job for Rob Van Dam for doing this. We hope you got whoever is hearing this takes a look. If you can afford it, take a look. Great job, and I hope they raise a ton of money.
All jokes aside, I have to agree. It's definitely a good move. Anything to fight cancer, I'm all for.
And now let's. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. We're going to totally switch to, you know, to something that you pointed out to me, Rob, that happened this week on the overseas tour.
Yes. In the, we should have known this category of professional wrestling, but Undertaker's knees are really starting to wear down on him. In Lisbon, Portugal, when they were doing a house show, Undertaker was, well, he was about as mobile as the Great Khali in that match, in his match with the Big Show. I mean, before he got into the ring, he had to actually punch his knees or punch his legs, you know, get some feeling and blood circulating through him.
Well,
needless to say, the match didn't take off. And the match was really cut short, which was understandable, seeing as The Undertaker has been in wrestling for 25 years. I think he started off in World Class, I believe.
Yeah, he's Texas Red. But think of it this way. How what's the longest plane flight any of you guys have ever been on? 6 hours?
I've never flown.
Okay. Anybody?
I think like four and a half hours.
Okay. Even if you don't stretch your legs, your legs start to hurt, right? When you've been on a long flight. Okay. Well, imagine a guy who's been in this business for 25 years, as we said, who is on a flight, you know, an international flight, probably 9-10 hours. I don't think, you know, he flies, and especially a big guy like him flying in coach, perhaps. You know, not exactly, you know, he's 6'7", 6'8". You know, not exactly a small dude. And so they fly, you know, they're flying on a big plane. And, you know, it's going to take a while for the legs to get out, and especially with all that stuff. Does this mean, I mean, there have been rumors to the effect that his legs have been hurt, you know, for a long time. I mean, is this the final run to WrestleMania 25? Maybe. Which is something.
I hope, to be honest, for his health's sake, I do kind of wish he'd pull the trigger on the career. I mean, 25 years in professional wrestling, going, working for the big guy for 18 years.
November 1990, it'll be 18 years of Survivor Series. Being
that's a pretty damn good career.
Remember?
Yeah. Brother Love brought him out.
So, guys, do you think, well, I'm putting this out to the panel, Rob, if you'll excuse me. Do you think, first of all, A, do you think at this time that Undertaker will retire at WrestleMania 25? Where do you think he goes from here?
I think he might get tossed into the Austin category, even though Austin's got his neck. That's why he's in that category. Yeah, but I think he's going to go and fall into the Austin category with sporadic appearances throughout the year. He comes out for the big events. He's there at the Hall of Fame ceremony. He's backstage at like all the major pay-per-views or something. So, but yeah, I think this could be the final run. I think they might go out with another title win at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go away or anything, but I think he may go to a schedule where he's working maybe WrestleMania and SummerSlam each year and like TV leading up to them, and that's it. But I don't think he's going to be completely gone.
I don't think he'll be gone completely either. But I don't know if he feels the need that he should leave wrestling. As much as I like the guy, if he feels for his health that he should hang it up and call it a day, then I'm cool with it.
Rob?
Like I said before, he should hang it up at WrestleMania 25, have a big send-off, and maybe they could put out a decent Undertaker tribute DVD.
I think that he's not done yet. I think it's going to go more to the limited schedule idea. I think he will do, and I don't mean to use it the negative way, he's going to pull a Hogan, so to speak.
Mm.
You know, limited appearances, pay-per-views, that sort of thing. Because
right.
You know as well as I do that Undertaker, with all due respect to, you know, is, in my opinion, the most developed and over character of all time. All time. I'm talking specific character, not wrestler. All right? Best entrance, best character, you know, and he made this his own. I think he deserves to go out whatever way he wants to. He's the only guy, well, he's one of the few guys right now that can do that at this point.
Right. Okay. With all that said, hey, let's talk about Raw.
Yeah, episode 800, right.
800, which had just as much assignment as episode 799. It started off with some technical difficulties in the audio department, and the scream seemed to be squished a lot, making Jericho look skinny. Chris Jericho climbed up, you know, the fourth ladder to deliver his message to the fans and talking about the ladder match. Jericho says he has won 3 championships in ladder matches and won more ladder matches than Michaels. Michaels won one. I think he won one or two ladder matches, and Jericho's won 3 titles in ladder matches. Jericho kept on talking, but was interrupted by Mr. Borton. Technical difficulties still abounded, and Orton reminded Jericho if he didn't kick CM Punk in the head, it unforgiven that he wouldn't even be champion.
Which is technically true.
Technically, yeah, he's right. Jericho said that Orton was a dreamer and had a big mouth, then threatened to punch Orton in the mouth like he did Shawn Michaels' wife. However, Orton pulled out his immunity idol.
Yeah, you can't touch me, you know, that sort of thing.
So, Jericho leaves. But Orton picks up the ladder and threw it at Jericho on the ramp.
Now, when I watch that, I'm just like, okay, what if he would have missed? You know?
Class action lawsuit fans.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you don't take a 20-foot ladder and toss it out of the ring. Dumb move. It's just not prudent.
Well, anybody that's standing at a Ramada Inn after Randy knows he doesn't think things through.
Oh, yeah. He's known to trash a hotel room or 6. Yes.
And taking a dump in somebody's bags in 04 and 05.
Go on.
And injuring himself again in 08.
But then I like what they did with this. You know, CM Punk comes out, and he looks pissed off. And I mean, legit pissed off. And then he just comes into the ring, and Orton says, "You can't touch me," and gets bitch slapped twice.
So Orton runs to the corner like the bitch that he is. And Adam Lee ran down and ordered Punk to stop and suspended him. And then we get my favorite theme of the McMahons. Here comes the money!
Yo, yes.
Here comes the money. Shane McMahon comes out and explains to Adam Lee that what Punk just did was called a receipt in the wrestling business.
Ooh, he's shooting, sort of.
Thank you, Brain Walker. Oh, by the way, we'll talk about that later on. We had two great Braden Walker lines this week in wrestling.
Yes, we did.
Shane overruled suspension, and Orton screamed at Shane for making the rules up as he goes. Well, Shane can. He's actually part owner of the company. Shane said Adam Lee's ruling is that nobody can touch Orton begins right now. So Shane booked CM Punk against Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho and JBL versus Batista and Shawn Michaels. Then we get a pretty decent CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes match, and then Team Priceless and Manu kept on beating him down and until "You're Making Me Crazy" Kofi Kingston came down and made the save.
With his three-legged dropkick. And if you know what that means, you know.
And ladies and gentlemen, Jason's Block's innuendo streak has just increased to 4.
Works for me, man. Anyway, go on.
Then we had a backstage segment with Shane McMahon, Mike Adamly, and Kane,
which was hilarious if you saw it.
Kane knows your mom?
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Knowing her by tombstoning her on a steel garter and hooking up a car battery and electrocuting my testicles.
Yeah, you're close.
Shane conveniently left out his attempted murder of Kane by dumping him in a flaming dumpster.
And also setting him in a speeding limo, which cut the roof off on a truck. If you remember that, you know.
And
which was,
by
the way,
we get a best thing segment with Kelly Squared, who left at Santino wearing a face guard.
Yes. Which set up another funny moment this week, which we'll get to later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who did Charlie do this week?
And then Santino Marella goes to the ring, actually ran out to the ring because Batista was right by him and was like, "I'll get you later."
Well, no, but you missed the setup, though. He's like, "I can take Batista anytime. He's such a pansy," or some shit like that. And he basically said, "I can do this." And then Batista goes, you know, it's like the whole Scooby-Doo thing, you know. He's right behind me, isn't he, Scoob? Same deal. Yeah,
pretty much. Santino Marella goes in, defends his Intercontinental title against Deuce. But not before we get the Honk-a-meter. 6 to 4 weeks. For me, 5 weeks.
Yes, but also a little note to creative. The Deuce and Domino gimmick is gone, and shouldn't Deuce be repackaged as Jimmy Superfly Snuka Jr. and be part of the second generation team? Please.
No, we need more useless jobbers.
If we're going to get more useless jobbers, then we have an endless supply in FCW to draw from.
Go on.
No,
I just made no sense when I watched that. Very dumb.
Santino wins thanks to Beth Phoenix.
Santino drops the deuce.
Yes, he does.
And then we get to a Kane versus Evan Bourne match. Now, this was a good match.
Well, let me just tell you something. I think the sky's the limit with Evan Bourne right now. No pun intended. I think he is going to be the breakout star of 2009. And don't be surprised if a major belt is on his waist by then.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't ECW going away in 4 months?
No.
It got renewed?
No. There's been no sign either way that they've said, you know, what they're going to do with it.
Didn't they do a 2-year renewal?
Something like that.
I thought it was a 1-year.
But ECW's ratings for sci-fi have been really, really good lately.
All right.
So I don't think ECW is going away anytime soon.
Okay.
Especially with the way they've been using it as a developmental fed with people like Jack Swagger, Ricky Ortiz, and other stuff like that.
Gavin Spears.
Him too?
The ultimate jobber.
It was originally James Curtis, but he got released.
He had to be replaced.
Makes me yearn to the days of the Brooklyn Brawler. Oh, speaking of worthless people, Nick Nemeth still has a job. Let's take a little break and talk about his tenure in the WWE. He starts off hitting the big time as being Curran White caddy.
Right.
And just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, Spirit Squad.
No. Let me just tell you something. The Spirit Squad was cool. Once DX neutered them, and gee, isn't that a surprise with Triple H doing it? Nick Nemeth, you know, Kenny Dykstra, I forget the other guy's name. That was a great gimmick. It really was.
I think
was.
Johnny Jeter is the only one. Him, Johnny Jeter, and
Mike Mondo.
Nick Mitchell.
Yeah, Mike Mondo and Nick Mitchell are gone.
But I'm telling you, they're not bad. It wasn't a bad gimmick.
I thought the gimmick was great.
Yeah, it was good until the death started at Backlash 06. And then
when they became
slowly
DX's personal jobbers, that was it.
Because once you put out, so once God puts you over, you have only one other place to go but down.
Yeah, okay.
Now he has, oh God, I'm doing this preemptively.
Whoa! Why?
Dolph Ziggler.
Yes. Did anybody see Boogie Nights?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what they're modeling the character. Yes, he has an enormous Schweinsteiger. Yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
He
it looks like he's on a mission to shake more hands than anybody in the world.
Didn't they do this in TNA and it failed miserably at the Hot Shots?
No, I think...
Nobody remembers that, so it doesn't count, I guess.
No, and they also had like a Dick Johnson gimmick or something.
Yeah, the Johnson.
Dick and Rod.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever. Okay.
Who later became the Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
Which was no better.
Hold on, I gotta write that one down. Gemini, teacher's pet,
Right inductions four.
They were better off in the penis suits.
Kelly Kelly beats Beth Phoenix.
With help from, this was the exact same match 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
They've had this match several times now.
And the result is always the same. I go to the bathroom.
Me too. And then John Morrison and the Miz beat Crime Time in an interpromotional tag team match.
This was actually a great match, by the way. It was really good.
Great match. It also stems from their internet feud,
which I didn't even know about.
Hi, I'm John Morrison, and for 6 months, I thought Nancy Grace was a man.
Great stuff. By the way, if anybody hasn't seen the Dirt Sheet or Santino's Casa or Word Up, that new media division is really some good stuff. There's some really good stuff out there.
Yeah, you can make a... They could just do a 30-minute show on, you know, get G4 to give them 30 minutes a week. You know, here, let's put our internet stuff on G4. Hell, be much better than... Be much better than the Spaceballs cartoon series or Hurl.
Whoa! Yeah, get rid of Hurl. Or if at least get rid of Hurl, at least if you don't do that, at least put more Ninja Warrior on.
Yeah.
Ninja Warrior rocks. Unbeatable Banzuki rocks. Trust me.
Everything else.
The best part of Ninja Warrior is when they screw up because the guy's like, "Oh, the rock!" He's yelling.
And then we get to what was the funniest part of the show. Mr. Imperfect Charlie Haas.
Live from Dave and Buster.
Who paid probably a nice pretty penny for that ad.
Yes.
Yes.
The last part was my favorite part. He actually does the gum slap. It lands in a salad and the woman eats it. All right, that's stupid. Let's move on.
It's just comedy freaking gold. It's just great stuff. I don't know what's going to be next, but damn, is it going to be funny. I'm just thinking that Charlie Haas is going to appear on that All-Star SmackDown thing for some damn reason. I just have a funny feeling about this. You know? But it was great.
It was the funniest thing aside from CHL that he's done.
Nothing will ever top CHL. Nothing.
Mama Joanna Extreme.com. Actually, Jim Haas is actually... Did you see the after show thing they did with Jim Haas?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
My favorite line. If AIDS and anthrax had a child, it would still be more popular than Michael Cole.
Ball game, metal.
Wow. Okay.
And finally, handicap match. Chris Jericho, Hanskate, and JBL beat Batista and Shawn Michaels.
You forgot something, though. There was a Beth Phoenix promo, a Santino Marella promo, where he was in the ring, and Batista just plunked his mask. If you remember that scene?
Yeah.
You missed... come on, that was hilarious. Goes, boink! He doesn't beat him up, he just takes the mask and just goes, boop, on his face. I mean, it's great.
Lance Kidd gets the pin in the main event, and it was a pretty decent main event. Let's move on from there. ECW from Columbus, Ohio, which taped on Saturday, and, like on Raw, Nikki was there.
That's awesome.
Okay.
I just gotta find the... Because it's not up on Online World of Wrestling.
Oh, okay. You want me to get the ECW? I can do it.
Yeah, do ECW and I'll do TNA.
Okay, sure. Hold on. Give me a minute here. Give me a minute. If you just lower for a minute, please. We're vamping here, folks, ladies and gentlemen, because trying to get the ECW results here.
Man, I missed the Age of Superstars Wrestling Challenge, Saturday Night Worldwide Pro, All-American.
WCW main event.
Yeah. Or Power Hour.
Oh, we saw the same match 25 times. Okay.
Yes, we saw Vinny Vegas versus Tommy Angel several times.
Or Todd Champion versus Steven Regal every week. And they'd always go to the TV time limit draw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Miz and John Morrison come out. Miz says that he dominated over Evan Bourne last week. Wrong. Evan only won because Ortiz distracted him. Miz says Teddy Long should be nurturing his superstars. There was some back and forth. They challenge anyone, anytime. Find out that Evan Bourne, of course, is not here tonight because, he flew in to Raw earlier on. Teddy makes the match, Miz versus John Morrison, and the winner will then take on Ricky Ortiz. We have Finlay in a match who wins over Bam Neely. Maurice over Michelle McCool, which actually was a better match than a better match, if you remember correctly.
I think you forgot the shot on Braden Walker.
Yeah, you forgot the shot on Braden Walker, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember that line correctly. Talon says, the new talent initiative has really been successful. This is it. Yeah. Hey, Teddy, good call on that Braden Walker guy who lasted all of 2 matches.
Yeah, that's true.
Burn! Eat that fat cat.
Now he's enjoying his future endeavors.
He's actually getting back to the independent wrestling theme and starting to get back in shape.
Mark Henry and Tony Atlas comes out. Henry just cuts a promo, which is actually a decent one, that basically says that Matt Hardy never pinned him and he's not the true champion. And at No Mercy, he's going to take the belt from him. Very good promo, actually. Mike Knox gets a win over Chase Stevens. And after the match, Jake Swagger comes out. Knox and him exchange looks. He attacks the jobber. Tommy Dreamer comes out for the save and got some for his trouble. And in the main event, Miz and Morrison goes to a double countout. Now, I thought that the Miz was and Morrison were going to do some sort of stalling techniques, but they actually didn't and actually wrestled a decent match. Since it went to a double countout, Ricky Ortiz comes out, does the big O on both of them, and just leaves. Huh? No, didn't make any logical booking sense, but it actually made for a pretty fun ECW this week, for the most part.
It actually did.
Actually, in my opinion right now, ECW is the, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it's the best wrestling show on TV right now. Anybody disagree with me?
No, I've said that for a while.
For actual wrestling, yes.
Will you accept reruns of AWA Championship Wrestling from 1986 on ESPN Classic every Monday through Friday?
Not everyone gets ESPN Classic.
And
all right, fine. Then ECW is.
Yeah, ECW is the best wrestling show. So what happened in down in Florida for Impact, Rob?
The founder of TNA Wrestling, Jeff Jarrett, announced that they had signed one of the most unique performers on time of all time, that'd be Mick Foley. Kurt Angle came up with a sarcastic grin on the face over that greatest acquisition comment, because, hell, didn't they make the greatest acquisition comment for Kurt Angle 2 years ago?
They make it for everybody.
They made it for Junior Fatu, probably.
I know they did it for Booker
T.
I think they said it for Christian, too.
Yeah.
Hey, but you're forgetting Kurt Angle turned TNA from an outhouse to a Waffle House. I mean, penthouse.
He took him from a 1.0 to a 1.1.
Oh, wow.
Hey, the
ratings not seen since the collapse of WCW.
Oof. Yeah, the 1.1. Jarrett said he went to AJ Styles and got Kurt's gold medals back from him. Awesome to him. Angle sarcastically thanked Jeff and told him to get the hell out of his ring and stop kissing his ass. Jarrett was walking away and Angle called him a scared little bitch and a washed up failure. Uh oh.
He just kept walking.
Jarrett went back to the ring and went no-snow-spangle, playing him he never has and never will quit. And so we get Jarrett versus Angle at Battle for Glory. By all accounts, should be a good match. Then we get Matt Morgan and Viz defeating The Rock and Rave Infection do splits.
We love you, Toledo!
Yeah. I'm sorry, the gimmick is great, but they're now just pretty much jobbers.
Who wants to get infected tonight?
So, Brother Devon and Brother Ray. So, Team 3D comes out after the match, and they say that the match will be an invitational tag team Monsters Ball. Morgan was, let's do it. Abyss?
Not so much.
No. Then we get to the Beer Money interview, which I must say, I really want to get one of those Beer Money shirts.
So do I.
How come James Storm has a great t-shirt and Beer Money has a great t-shirt, while other t-shirts usually suck?
Just part of James Storm's greatness.
He's a member of AMW that, well, made an impact in the world of wrestling.
Yeah.
Then we get to pretty much a squash match. Awesome Kong defeated Mercedes Steele, who I think VRM, you might know this, the New England Wrestling Circuit Lexus.
So she went from Lexus to Mercedes.
Oh, very good.
Good one. No win for you, though, because that was an obvious joke.
I was gonna say another part of the bad joke. I was going to say she goes to WWE. Will they make her Porsche? But
Porsche Perez.
Better than Sojourner Bolt or whatever the hell they called Josie a couple weeks ago.
Well, Ray Society was initially mixed in action, but eventually came to ringside with a steel chair halfway through the match. So he jumped to the ring and smashed Kong across the back of the unmasked to reveal Roxy Laveau. And yada, yada, yada. Do we even need to talk about Karen's angle?
No.
No.
Really.
All right. Lauren and LAX. Hector Guerrero said Beer Money puts too much gravy on their biscuits.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
Biscuits and gravy!
The fans of Jesse and Festus.
Oh. And Guerrero means warrior. Oh.
I expected JBL to walk in and shake Hector's hand right after that.
Where's the challenge now, Hector?
And then we get Jeremy Borash and Booker and Charmel. And looks like Booker T is now the African King and African Queen.
Mm-hmm. Hold on a sec. Yeah. I'm on the phone.
Now, I think by this point I had switched over to USC getting their asses kicked by Oregon State.
Mm-hmm. Booker T said did more in the first 6 minutes of TNA than AJ Styles did in 6 years. Something along those lines. Bryce reaches for the mysterious briefcase and has hand slapped by Charmel before he was dismissed by Booker T. Is it just me or did they sound like the royalty people from Coming to America?
Zamunda, yes.
Then we get to the six-man tag team match where Beer Money beats LAX.
That's Foam Dome.
And thus we say goodbye to Hector.
What the heck is going on? What the hell was that sound about? What's that? Robert, what the heck was that?
You don't remember remote control?
Yes.
That was for the syndicated one.
No.
No, we had na 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 na. Hey, goodbye. This one was Hit the Road Jack.
Oh, okay. That's when they went through the wall?
Yeah, when they went through the wall.
Okay, sorry.
I'm an unapologetic remote control fan.
So am I, but just I didn't remember it. Good.
Lauren interviewed Sanjay Dutt and Silicon Valley in the Love-In.
The Love-In?
Yes. They've been in bed together for the past 10 days, what they're calling a Love-In.
If I was Sanjay Dutt in bed with SoCal Val for 10 days, would I have the strength to even do an interview? No. But go on.
Does that mean they're still in Canada from after the pay-per-view?
And they started to sing Give Us a Chance to Further Stomp on John Lennon's Legacy. Oh, dear freaking Lord.
They did?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if he's mimicking any members of the Beatles, let's just hope that any bodyguards he hires don't get distracted watching Charles in Charge.
Charles in Charge in our days. In our lives. Sting promo. Cue the video wall. Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard. It's time to have eyes in the back of his head. Dusty Rhodes. How to involve the wrestling fans. Hogan, move on. Ric Flair, who put him on the map 20 years ago. I think they're up there, Tom, to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders and be a world heavyweight champion. And then Joe and says he doesn't know how to be a world champion, he needs more respect. And then showed a picture of himself and said that's the guy who's going to get the job done. Decent promo. There you go.
It's been a long time on Flair.
Well, think about it. If it wasn't for Flair making Sting.
In one of the best matches in history, period.
Which is on the new Flair DVD.
Which I don't have yet, which I should. I know I'm a very bad boy, but, 45-minute draw was just phenomenal.
That was actually the first Clash of Champions should be released on DVD then. Entire thing.
The rumor is, though, that Starrcade DVD was not canceled. It's coming out, but we'll see.
I heard it was.
And JR said he just did interviews for it.
Oh. For Starrcade?
Yes.
Yeah, and like in his blog, he said he just wrapped up doing like the like interviews for the Starrcade DVD.
Jim Ross was in a few of them.
Yep.
Matt Morgan, Abyss, backstage segment, skip that. Joe, Lethal, Creed, backstage segment. Lethal and Creed approach Joe. I want to thank for everything he does. Says that if need him, they'd be there. Then we get to Sheikh Abdul-Bashir versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, man. Yeah, Joe basically killed him. Pretty much.
He did. But Sheikh Abdul-Bashir still won the match.
I thought Joe won the match.
By reverse decision. Because Joe didn't want to let the Sheikh... Didn't want to let the Sheik out.
Okay.
And then after AJ Styles' backstage interview, Booker T versus AJ Styles. Shawn Mel jumped to the ring with a briefcase. Christian jumped in and grabbed it from her. Styles turned around and saw Christian standing there with the briefcase. Booker knocked Styles into Cage, sending Cage through the ropes. Booker picked up the briefcase and racked Styles with it for the 1-2-3.
What's in the case? Do we know?
Contract for a title match. Anytime you want for a year.
This is not
actually,
money.
I was thinking something else.
I was thinking Marcellus's soul. But, say what again? Great moment.
Does he look like a bitch?
You know what I think it is?
What?
A contract with Stevie Ray's name on it.
Oh,
he's going to be my bodyguard.
Put him on the announce team.
Rob, you think you can get through SmackDown in 7 minutes?
Yes.
Let's do it.
If I can find the spoilers, which I should be able to. Oh, by the way, Vito got arrested.
Yeah. What, for cross-dressing? Or for, actually, I heard it was for something pretty bad.
It was something pretty bad.
He actually hit a woman, I think?
Yep.
Not okay, Vito, bad Vito. No home game. Just no good. What's the number one rule in kindergarten, people? Don't hit girls. Unless they ask you, you pay $1.50 an hour.
The question is he going to be wearing the dress in the cell? Or?
Yeah, then who's the bitch now? Yeah.
Here it is, right here.
Okay.
SmackDown opens with Chavo and Vicky backstage. Chavo says they have tickets on the semi for tonight. Vicky says, no way. Then we get to a tag team match, Jeff Hardy versus Triple H versus MVP and Brian Kendrick. It was a really good match, but Triple H got the win via pinfall after hitting a pedigree on MVP. Boom.
You could slow it down to a little bit of a dull roar.
But still, a very good match.
It was a very good match. Triple H and Hardy did a very good job, and, you know, very good stuff.
Then Shelton Benjamin comes out to cut a promo, which, when he's finished, drops the mic, walks free, but R-Truth comes out and interrupts and basically steals the thunder. What's up?
And then and then Benjamin backs away. Cowardly heel trick number one. Okay.
And then it is announced that we get the gold standard versus Santino Marella for next week.
good stuff. That's again, that's going to be a loaded show. The hot
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Well, I forgot it was next week. They actually announced it on the show. I'm actually watching part of the show right now. And it just got through Maria and Brie Bella versus Natalya and Victoria.
Yes, and I believe they announced a 8-man tag match for next week as well, which is going to be pretty huge, actually.
Yes. However, during the match, Brie did switch place with her sister.
And we pretty much saw the switch this time.
Yeah, we saw the switch.
Yeah, it happened quickly.
Then Vladimir Kozlov versus the Great Khali. Pretty much no contest because Triple H comes up. Khali attacks Thunder. Kozlov joins in. And then Jeff Harvey for the save. And Triple H gets a sledgehammer and just wails on Khali.
Oh, by the way, may I introduce the 8-man tag? It's Kane, JBL, MVP, and Brian Kendrick versus Rey Mysterio and Finlay and Batista and Jeff Hardy. So they are just loading that show.
They have to load that show. Undertaker versus Big Show's Nance for No Mercy. I think this would be a good time for Undertaker to take a little break, like a month off. No, do some build-up, maybe Undertaker versus Big Show for a return match for Survivor Series. Chavo Guerrero beats Jimmy Wang Yang in the ever-continuing saga of Jimmy Wang Yang actually has a job. And then this one gets to me. They hot-shotted the belts. Carlito and Primo beats Hawkins and Ryder to win the tag titles.
I like it.
Bonus violations.
No, I think since Edge is gone, you need the Edge head somewhere else, and they really weren't doing anything with the belt. You put him on the colognes right now.
Oh, by the way, they just aired a Raw on USA 800 thing on SmackDown.
Okay.
Anyways,
okay.
Jesse and Festus come out to get Hawkins Ryder in the My Moving Company van. They manage to slip away. They open the back of the van, and there's Dykstra wrapped upside in bubble wrap.
He's got experience in surviving these situations. He was in that crate to OVW when he survived.
Yeah, there you go.
And
the
only one
to
be out there.
All accounts, the others could be dead.
According to us, they are, except for Nikki, who's now Dolph Ziggler.
Only
Nikki
makes
sure Chavo Guerrero and Vicky Zoff talk about how they're going to smoke out the Undertaker. They head to the ring. The lights go out. Chavo's gone. He's backstage being beaten up by the Undertaker. Big Show leaves Vicky in the ring by herself to go help. Lights flash on again. Undertaker with Vicky. Vicky gets a tombstone.
End of show.
And
the
show.
He'll be back in a wheelchair for another 8 months.
I think the Undertaker's that tombstone must have reverberated to my living room because, coincidentally, at that point, my computer died.
Wow. Boy, that was the reverberation of Vicky's body weight, but,
Excuse me!
We have a show to close up, Rob! We have a show to close.
And that does everything, and we have a few seconds left.
Oh, wow.
So what I'd like to do is point out that next week, to coincide with the My Network TV debut of SmackDown, we will be doing just your basic old show. All right. I'll think of something. Maybe Around the Horn.
Oh, that would be good, too. All
right, we'll do Around the Horn.
Yeah. Let's see if Jason can go two in a row like Trista Block, and that, like Trista, and that ends tonight's show for BRM, Jason Block, Typho, and fourth, I am Robert Sadelman saying goodnight, goodnight.
Good night, guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye, all.
See ya.
Night.
See ya.
Oh, by the way, Typho?
Yeah.
16 more days. Take care of yourself, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.